Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. We're back to the Malachas of Shabbos. We are looking at the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Siman Pei, the 80th chapter of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and this is part two of the Malachas of Shabbos. We're going to be looking at five different Malachas today, and they are Zoire, which is winnowing, Borer, which is separating, Toichen, which is grinding, kneading, Lash, which is kneading, and Bishul or Ofer, which is heating or cooking foods on Shabbos. Let's jump straight in. Our first topic is Zoire, which is winnowing. So the way it used to be done is after threshing, where you separate the seed and the chaff, you now need to, they're all lying mixed together on the ground. So what do? You take a fork and you throw it into the air, and the air blows away the husks, which are lighter, and down falls the seed, and this way you separate them. So generally speaking, we're not doing this so often. When I used to have a pet, which is a bird, the way I used to clean their seeds was to blow their seeds. That would be winnowing, to blow out the husks. But generally speaking, nobody's really doing that so much today. So how is it applicable? So the Kitzur gives one example. Says if you spit into a windy area and the spit is going to the phlegm is going to separate in the wind, that is a problem of Zoire. However, the Mishnah Berurah says one can be Mekel as long as there's no carrying for more than 4 amos. It's not going to take it in an area where there's no Erev. Why? Because the Mishnah Berurah says because you're not separating one thing from another. It's just the same substance, the same phlegm being separated. So the Mishnah Berurah is not so concerned about this. We move into our next Av, which is Borer. Borer is selecting. This is our seventh Av Melacha, which is about sorting, and this generally means to say taking out the bad stuff. So I have a mixture now on the floor of the remaining seeds and remaining husks. I take out all the husks. That's how I used to do it in the times of the Mishkan. So let's go jump into this and understand. Can I ever sort on Shabbos? So the answer is yes, under three basic conditions, and they are biyad, miyad, and oichel mitach psalas, which means I may only use my hand on an instrument. It must be for immediate use, and it must be the good from the bad. So I'm taking out what I want to eat for right now. That's how it works. So let's just examine each of those. What is considered biyad with one's hand? So this means to say anything in which the utensil is going to increase or enhance the separation process, that is a problem. That's not considered biyad anymore. But if I'm using the utensil just so my hands don't get dirty, so for instance, I want to take a piece of fish off a platter which has a mixture of different things on that platter, and I'm using my fork not to get my hand dirty, then the separation process is not enhanced by the fork. It just means my hand is not getting dirty, and other people won't look at me askance from taking off with my hand. Now, what does it mean, miyad, for immediate use? So it means it needs to be right before the meal. Even if the meal will go on for a number of hours, that's considered miyad. However, it shouldn't be that, let's say, a person is preparing a salad for the Shabbos lunch. One should not prepare the salad and separate the good things and then go out to shul and come back and eat. That's not considered miyad. What is considered obsoles, the parts that need, the bad part? So anything one doesn't want to eat now is considered psoles, even if it is edible. So if one is separating something which one will eat later, that is a problem of psoles mitoch ochel, the bad stuff from the good stuff. What about peeling onions and garlic? So it's a problem unless one is peeling what one needs to eat immediately, then one can remove what one needs to eat immediately, and that's fine. But to be able to just peel off the and husk them and then leave some of it for later, that is a problem. What is considered mixture, which is a really important idea? So it means to say a mixture of different foods, of different sizes. But if it's the same food but there's different sizes of pieces, that's not considered a mixture. But if it's the same type of food, but there are different qualities. So for instance, let's say it's chicken, and one piece of chicken is well done and one piece is more rare, then that is considered borer even among the same thing itself. What about non-food items? It is a problem, even non-food items. So clothes, cutlery, one has to follow the three rules of borer as well. So one has to be careful. One can't just sort laundry on Shabbos. What happens if I have a pile of cutlery? How do I sort them? So it's a problem. So the best way to do it would be to throw them out onto the table, to scatter them, thereby breaking the mixture and allowing it that way. Can I strain liquids? So the answer is, it is a problem borer, according to most opinions as well, to strain liquids. Is there any way to do it? So one can do it by placing a cloth by one's mouth and drinking the liquid through the cloth. However, there are two exceptions. If one is using water, then it's a problem of melaben, of cleaning that cloth. And if one will use one's sleeve, one's likely to squeeze it, so one should avoid that as well. Can I push down a French press for coffee? The problem is no, you're not allowed to because you have a mixture of grinds and hot water. Let's say you avoid the bishul issues of cooking, but if you push down the grinds and you're separating them out of the water, that's psoilos mitoch oichel, that is the bad stuff being separated from the good with the utensil, that is a real problem. However, one can push the French press, let's say, three quarters of the way down, so the bottom remains a mixture of water and grinds, therefore one has not finished that process as well. One has to be careful when one's pouring, that it's not the filter is not stopping the grinds from going out, or otherwise that is also a process of separation as well. If I have a mixture of grinds and water, can I pour out the water? The answer is, using a filter is a problem, because that is mitoch ochel. With a kli, but if one is using just the lid of the container, it's fine because since one's about to drink the coffee, one's taking out the water one wants from the psoles, it's considered oichel mitoch psoles, the good part from the bad part, begad with one's hand, because even though one's using the lid's just there just because of convenience. It's not like a filter, and miyad, it's for immediate use. What about the cream on top of the milk? So one should not take all the cream, but rather leave a layer on the top of the milk. So because it's not considered biyad, since the spoon is doing a better job than one's hand, even if one is to consume the cream right now. The Kitzur does add that even if one's doing this, it needs to be for immediate consumption. But the Mishabura points out if one's leaving the cream, a little bit of cream on top of the milk, there's still a mixture, so it's not considered borer whatsoever. What happens if a fly fell into my soup? So in some Western places, they'll throw out the entire soup just because of the sheer thought of it. However, if one does want to remove the fly from the soup, one cannot remove just the fly. One needs to take a spoon of the soup with it as well, so one retains part of the mixture and does not transgress borer itself. Let's look at the next melacha, which is our eighth melacha in Melechus Shabbos, and that's toichein, which is grinding. Now at this point in time, we have the refined object. So we have the grains, and no husks. We've removed all the bad stuff. At this point in time, they would take the grain and they would now crush it down, grind it into flour. Very important part in the process of producing bread, sidura de pas. So a few basic questions. Is there a way to crush salt or herbs? So it is allowed to be done with a shinui. What does a shinui mean? One, let's say, uses the handle of a knife. And one is not doing it in a grinder. So that would be allowed as well. So not with the usual instrument and not in the usual instrument as well. Can I cut vegetables very finely? So it's a proper toichen if they're cut too finely. It can be done if done right before the meal and not too finely as well. Some would allow it to be done finely just before the meal, but the Kitzur and the Mishnah Berurah are machmir in this case. What does too finely mean? So there's no clear definition on this as well. If it should be bigger than one you would usually do on the weekday if we're doing the same thing. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that crisscross cuts are a problem, but lengthway cuts are not an issue. And then does this apply to all substances? The answer is no. It does not apply to something which does not grow from the ground. So one would be allowed to crush or mash meat or eggs or cheese. And it also does not apply to something which is already ground. So let's say one has cake, one can squash the cake into crumbs, no problem as well. We're going to look at the 10th concept, which is losh. Losh is literally a kneading. So one now takes the flour, mixes it with water, and is now taking this solid and forms a solid or semi-solid substance by mixing it with this liquid. So it was a few basic things. If I forgot to make a dip before Shabbos, in those days the way they used to make dips was they would take herbs, mix them with vinegar or another liquid, and they would make the dip, the condiment. Am I allowed to do it before Shabbos? So if it can be done, it can be done if the mixture is A, very runny, so it's only Issa Drabonin, what's called a blila raka, a very runny mixture, and it's done with shinui in the opposite way they usually do it. So usually one would put the spices and then pour the liquid in. So in this case, pour the liquid in and then add the spices and make sure it's very runny, then it'll be all right as well. May I urinate on mud or dust? That's a problem because it is one should be avoid this because of lush, because of creating this new substance, this muddy substance as well. We're moving into our next melacha. Our melacha is bishul, which is cooking food and heating food on Shabbos. We'll end with this as well. So just a few basics over here. The Isser Torah, the prohibition of the Torah, is to bring something to which is uncooked to full to above yad, so let us boil, in order to create a cooking process. If something has already been cooked and it's a solid, there's no problem with bishul achar bishul. But if it's a liquid and it's cooled down to room temperature, then at that point in time, there would be a concern of bishul of reheating it, even at that point in time. besides for the Isra Bishul, there are three other Isra Derabbanan one has to be concerned about, and they are Hachzara, which is taking something off the heat and then returning it with other conditions we'll discuss in a moment. And then there's also Shehiya, leaving something which is uncooked on the stove before Shabbos, less than a third or half cooked before Shabbos. And finally, is Tahat Mana, is keeping something completely wrapped up before Shabbos, is something which adds heat, or on Shabbos even if it doesn't add heat as well. So that's just a few basic questions. The way the Kitzur frames it is, can I pour hot soup onto bread? The answer is no. Why not? Because the liquid is Yad Soledes Bo, the liquid is of a boiling level above 110 degrees Fahrenheit. And even if there's Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, or Ein Afia Acha Afia, so you can't re-bake something, you can't re-cook a solid substance, but nonetheless, if you have something which was baked, like bread, and you put it into a soup, then it can cook, Yesh Bishul Acha Afia, according to many Paiskim. Can I have the bread and the soup together? The answer is yes. You can pour it into a bowl, and once it's below Yad Soledes Bo, the beer can be dipped into it. It also could be placed in a Kli Shlishi, according to many, a third dish. So let's say I put it from a pot to a ladle which is kept out of the soup, so it's not getting heated up, into a bowl, or that would be considered a Kli Shlishi. One can also place the bread in one's mouth and put the soup in, because by the time one's putting it in one's mouth, it is below Yad Soledes Bo. What about adding spices or salts? One cannot add spices or salt to a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni because it will cook them. So what about salt? Salt, people add salt all the time. So the Kitzur points out there are different types of salt. There's mined salt. That's a problem because that's never been cooked. But cooked salt, let's say you take sea salt and you boil it, which is a way that salt is often produced, then that's not a problem because it's considered Ein Bishul Acha Bishul B'davar Yavesh. There's no re-cooking, reheating a solid substance. However, there are those who are machmir even in this case, because the salt will ultimately melt and turn into a liquid, and therefore is considered more of a liquid than a salt. And the Kitzur says, Machmir Tavala Bracha, a person should be more machmir about the salt in a Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni as well. How about sugar? So sugar is considered like salt. It's cooked and it's solid, so it should not be an issue. But there are opinions that because it turns into a liquid, when it melts, it should be avoided. And so it's best not to pour hot water or coffee or tea onto the sugar. Rather, one places it into the Kli Sheni or the Kli Shlishi and then adds it as well. Can I place a fruit or water above an oven or a blech so it just warms up? So if the area... Since water is considered liquid and the fruit is considered raw, there is a concern of Bishul. So even if I decide I want to leave it there just for 5 minutes to warm up, but seeing as if I left it there for 20 minutes, it would actually cook, it would reach Yad Soledes Bo, that is a problem to even leave it there for 5 minutes. What about, let's say, leaving a meatloaf or a piece of meat next to the oven to warm up? It is a problem if there is fat which is congealed and it will turn to liquid, because there is Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul B'davar Lach, there is considered cooking after a cooking when it comes to liquid substances. So even if the meat has been recooked and the solid part's not a problem, the liquid part certainly is, even just warming it up as well, if it could reach 110 degrees at some point. What about putting a cooked item on the oven? So it's a problem because it's mechzei kemevashel. Even though I have already cooked it, it's a problem putting it on the oven itself. If it's put on something which is a blech, or let's say a heat tray which has got no dials on it, that may be less of an issue. It's completely solid, according to many Paiskim. What if a pot has cooked items and was left on the stove from before Shabbos? Can it be removed and returned? So this is what's called Hachzara. So it may not be removed if it's completely cooled down and there's liquid in it. But if it was fully cooked, the flame was covered, the food is still warm, it was still in one's hand, and it wasn't put down, those are five conditions, then one would be allowed to return it as well. So this comes up with, let's say, one needs to take cholent on Friday night, one has to make sure that one has intended to put it back, it's still warm, one keeps it in one's hand, one doesn't put it down, so one keeps a hand on it, that means to say, a hand on the counter, it's on the counter, it's in my hand, I intend to return it, I use the other hand to serve, that would be fine to return it afterwards as well. What if I have a pot which is hot from before Shabbos? Can I just wrap it up and insulate it on Shabbos? The answer is no. Full insulation is called hatmana and is not allowed on Shabbos. Partial wrapping is allowed, so one would be able to cover the top or cover the sides, but not both. What about putting liquid into a thermos flask? So that's not a problem. Hatmana is a problem only when it's in the first part. But if I empty it into another one, I can insulate the second part on Shabbos. So the second part in this case is the thermos flask, which is not a problem. So taking from the hot water kettle, the Shabbos kettle, and putting it into a thermos is not a problem on Shabbos. If our food, which is so salty, it can only be eaten if it gets washed, may I wash it? The answer is no, that's considered makeh b'patish. And some others say that there's no makeh b'patish with food. But the kids are quick to comment that herring is edible without washing it, so you're allowed to wash herring on Shabbos. Finally, can I ask a non-Jew to eat food on Shabbos? The answer is no. As we'll see later on, there's a prohibition called Amir al-Akum, where I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do any melacha for me, which I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos. However, there are certain exceptions, so you're allowed to tell the non-Jew to switch on the heat in the house if the heat is off, and that's because HaKol Cholim Etzel Atzina, everybody's considered a Cholesh and Basakar, a sick person, not in danger when one is allowed to transgress certain parameters of Hilchos, of Halacha Shabbos Midr Rabbanan, and one would be allowed, you'll be allowed to tell a non-Jew to put on the heat. If that's the case, you could ask them to place the dish which one needs to heat up on, let's say solid food which has already been cooked, on the radiator before it's on, then tell them to switch it on, and now the radiator will go on. That's fine as well. That's considered Amir al-Akum with a Psek Reisha. However, if it's going to be that it's obvious that you're not doing this for the heat in the house, but rather just for the heat of the food, that would be a problem. With this, we conclude. We've looked at five separate melachas today. As you can see, there's a lot of details over here. The kids are giving us the basic outlines. We looked at Zoyre, winnowing, borer, assorting, toichen, grinding, lush, kneading, and bishul, heating and cooking foods on Shabbos. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful meeting.